Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is NFL Fantasy Live on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hand off, Brett Jackson finds a hole right side, 35, and he is hit hard and brought down at the 37-yard line. And Fred is going to be shaken up on that play. Shotgun snap, handoff, Spiller finds a little crease left side. In the open field at the 30, 25, 20. Spiller headed to the end zone, touchdown! C.J. Spiller!
If you like the NFL, you're going to like NFL Fantasy Live, featuring the experts of NFL.com.
Touchdown, Vikings! A couple of TDs today for Adrian Peterson. I'd say that ACL's okay.
He's going all the way! 89 yards, Pierre Garçon, catch and run for a touchdown!
What a play. This is what we haven't had in a decade. We got big play potential.
Here are your hosts, Elliot Harrison, Michael Fabiano, and Jason Smith.
Greetings and welcome to NFL Fantasy Live. Our theme song, Michael Fabiano.
Where the down boys go.
You're not going to sing, are you?
No.
Okay, very good. Because yeah. that wasn't really in tune. You just kind of like you were saying it.
I'm not Janie Lane.
Okay.
Or, well, I guess it's Robert Mason now.
Yeah, it hasn't been Janie Lane in Warrant for, well, obviously.
Poor Janie.
He died, but he hadn't been in Warrant for a long time.
Disappointing.
Disappointing that he hasn't been in Warrant or disappointing that he died?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Now he's definitely not going to get back to Warrant.
No, well, wow. Lightning is going to strike you somehow through
well,
this
no,
studio
it's true.
For that.
Stop it.
Plenty of big stuff to get to today. All the big fantasy news. Jay Cutler is mouthing off. It looks like we could have big news involving Chris Johnson. We'll talk about the fallout from the Monday night games. Warren Sapp going to stop by in a half hour to talk fantasy. And the Sapper is the defending champion.
Two-time champion.
Two-time champion of our NFL. Did he win this week? Our NFL Experts League? Did he win?
I'm not sure if he won this week or not.
Okay, because I won by 30.
He's not in our league. We split things up. Now Warren is in the Total Access versus Game Day Morning League. Now we have so many shows on NFL Network that we had to split things up. So we're playing the NFL AM guys, which you and I both won our matchups in week one. And so Sapp is playing against those guys. I have to find that out.
All right. So Sapp will stop by because the guy knows fantasy. And Fabiano and I will talk about, well, we thought we had, you know, look, at least I did. I thought I knew everything about Chris Johnson.
You think you know everything about everything.
Well, you're right. I do think I know that. But and most things I do, except for Chris Johnson, apparently. Not only did he come off a 4-yard performance on Sunday, which is only 5 yards better than D'Angelo Williams. Now we're hearing reports that the Titans are having to say no. There are no plans on us to reduce Chris Johnson's role. Tennessee head coach Mike Munchak said on Tuesday, I think we'll roll with who we have. CJ caught 6 balls. He did a good job there. He's still a big weapon. Now, he did have a nice game catching passes out of the backfield, which didn't make his day horrible, but still, 11 carries for 4 yards, Fabs. I know the Patriots' defense is better than they were last year. They got some new playmakers in. They drafted some new guys.
I hear a butt coming.
But 11 carries for 4 yards. They didn't give him the ball enough to break it. I understand that, but 11 for 4 yards at home in your debut when you're saying, I got to shut everybody up.
I know.
I mean, how long till he becomes somebody where he's a matchup guy?
We
waited a long time last year.
Last season he was a matchup guy.
But we waited
points.
Like 5 or 6 weeks. Now, he's not going to have that rope this time.
You know, I couldn't have been more disappointed owning CJ in a couple of leagues, and it's 1 week, though. Let's not panic just yet. I think people are panicking a little prematurely because of what he did last year or what he didn't do last season. So sit back and wait. Tennessee's playing the Chargers this weekend, and They gave up a lot of receptions to Darren McFadden, and so hopefully CJ 2K can sort of get his act together, because if we get a couple more of these stinkers, Jason, you're exactly right. People are going to be wondering, do I start this guy? I took him in the first or second round, and he's a matchup player now? We'll see what happens. He could go down, if this continues, as the greatest example of a player got paid and his stats went down the toilet soon thereafter.
Yeah, this is so disappointing, because I took him in the first round in a draft. He went in the first round in just about everybody's drafts because everybody bought into Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
But he was going to be back. Look, I like they solved their problems on their offensive line. They brought Hutchinson in. They looked like they were sealing blocks better in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And it looked like, okay, he's back to being who he is. He can hit the outside and go. But you see that week one, and I think, is he ever going to be the same?
What I think is going to happen with CJ is that we're going to see more good games from him than we did last season, but there's going to be inconsistency. If you remember in the second half of last year, he actually was not bad at all from a overall yardage standpoint. He rushed for a lot of yards. He just didn't score a lot of touchdowns. But most of those yards were in two or three games. He had some big games. We need to see some production out of CJ2K or his fantasy value is going to plummet. And I mean plummet. Down back to earth.
Yeah, right now, you're still starting him, but you have much less time to say, okay, I can keep throwing him out there.
Right, exactly.
You're still at the point now after week one, your stars are still your stars. You're worried about guys like Wes Welker, I get that, but you're still playing Wes Welker. You're going to give him a couple of games, but mm-hmm. CJ2K doesn't have that. So if you own him like we do, you have to start in the back of your mind saying, okay, after this week, if he lays another egg, I have to look in another direction.
And the problem, too, is that right now, there is nothing on the waiver wire.
No.
Nothing. I mean,
no.
Maybe Alfred Morris is available on your fantasy roster, or I'm sorry, on your fantasy league. Jonathan Dwyer, but these guys aren't long-term solutions to your fantasy issue if you have CJ2K. So right now it's sort of start them and suck it up and hope for the best.
Yeah, you take a look, and just look at the waiver wire real quick. We'll get deeper into this as the show goes on, of course. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from NFL Fantasy Live here at NFL Network and NFL.com is normally after week one, we see a lot of guys come out of nowhere.
Sure.
And we wonder, is this guy worth it? And you and I, our job is to say, okay, is this guy, is this a sign of things to come, or mm-hmm. is he a one-week wonder? Mm-hmm. Was he a Kevin Ogletree? Can Kevin Ogletree catch 100 yards of passes on the Cowboys' offense? And there's six or seven guys like that. This week, how many guys are you really going to pick up that I could pick up and start week two? I don't know that there's anybody.
I think Morris, because
barring
injury,
of course,
back,
unless you have somebody who's injured.
Because, they're playing the Lambs. I'm sorry, the Rams. Did I say the Lambs?
You did say the Lambs.
They're playing the Rams this week, and they just can't stop the run. So I like that matchup. Boy, I love RG3. I told you about RG3. He's going to be a beast.
He's great.
That might be the only player, unless you're in a small league and Kevin Smith is somehow still available. But, yeah. I mean, he's playing the 49ers this week.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help you.
No, you're not going to
start
him there.
I've got Kevin Smith in a couple of leagues, and I'm benching him.
Yeah, look at Cedric Benson, 18 yards rushing on Sunday.
The only saving grace for Smith is that he gets receptions out of the backfield, so maybe he sneaks in a few yards there, but playing against the Niners as a running back is a scary proposition.
Now, the two guys, maybe, depending on injuries, if they're available, Alfred Morris, Stephen Hill possibly, because he looks like...
Oh, you're such a Jets homer!
Because he looks like he's got that rapport with Sanchez. He's holding on to the ball, and he's a burner.
He's playing the Steelers.
And Sanchez has pretty good games against the Steelers. Look back, Sanchez plays against the Steelers pretty well. They don't tend to shut him down. The other guy I like, and I'll tell you what, and this is something...
If I cut your finger, green would come out.
I think so. If I cut you, cowboy blue and pinstripe Yankee
would
come out.
No, I'm not as bad as you.
Yes, you are.
I'm not as bad as you.
Who wears suits when the Yankees win playoff games so you look like you play for the Yankees?
Well, it was just because I was happy about the playoff win.
Oh, that's what... Oh, okay, okay.
That's all.
Okay, so that's... Okay.
But I'm not insane like you are.
But I'm the insane guy.
Yes, on Sunday, okay. Jason Smith, after the Jets had scored 40-something points, was trying to be funny, picks up the phone and says, hey, New Orleans. Yeah, I'm a Jets fan. I need Super Bowl tickets. You're on. You know what?
Now, wait a minute. You just lied to everybody.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
I did it when it was 14-0.
Okay.
Not 40.
Which makes you look
even worse. I didn't wait 14-0 because I knew.
Go Steelers this week.
If you're going to tell the story, tell it right now.
All right.
Stephen Hill, obviously, because he has that.
He's someone to pick up.
But,
are you starting him this week? I mean, I don't think so.
You know who's really intriguing to me? And after seeing the attention he got on Sunday, and he's still available, I think, in 50% of leagues or so, is Dexter McCluster. He got a lot of attention from Matt Cassel. If you're looking for somebody who could be a Victor Cruz, Darren Sproles, because we always look for guys like that. Who's that guy? He comes out of the slot. He got a lot of targets from – he got nine or ten targets from Matt Cassel, the most targeted receiver by half or double by what everybody else had. He had a nice game, 82 yards, and he's someone they're going to get the ball in his hands because he's a playmaker. He's a guy that I could take and say, all right, if I have an injury problem, if I have a Fred Jackson, if I played Willis McGahee or I did whatever and I want to make a change, he's someone I could say, okay, maybe I can pick him up, put him in my flex this week just because of that breakout potential, because this could be the year for him. It seems like it could line up for him, and it seems like they want to use him.
You know, I don't trust Dexter McCluster because he's so inconsistent. He'll give you a good game like he gave you last week, leads the Chiefs in receptions and receiving yards, and this week he could fall completely on his face and do nothing. He's like that James Jones type of player where, oh, good game, yeah, well, let me pick him up off the waiver wire, and two catches later, you're putting him back on the waiver wire. And they have a lot of options in Kansas City. You got Dwayne Bowe. You got John Baldwin. You've got Kevin Boss, clearly, now who Cassel has a little bit of a rapport going on with. You've got Tony Moyaki. You've got two running backs coming out of the backfield who can catch the ball. So I think McCluster's worth a roster spot if you're in a deeper league, but I'm just not in love with him at this point.
888-XM-FANTASY, 888-963-2682. We'll answer your fantasy questions throughout the show. Also want to get into us via Twitter at SiriusXMFantasy. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network and NFL.com. Jay Cutler. Pretty nice to see Jay Cutler back to being Jay Cutler now.
You know,
confident.
He's got a good life.
Yeah, he does.
He's got his buddy Brandon Marshall back in the Windy City. Mm-hmm. He's married to Christine Cavallari, and they just had a child.
Mm-hmm.
He's living the good life, my friend.
And he had a big week one. He was someone
he makes a little bit of money.
A little bit. He does all right. Yeah, you know, he's not going to starve.
Right.
I feel happy for that. But coming off of week one, had a big week one, mm-hmm. 300 yards, and obviously Brandon Marshall had a huge week. Alshon Jeffrey had a long touchdown. We thought of Cutler as a periphery number one quarterback coming into the season. We thought with the addition of Marshall, he could be that. At certain weeks, we could rank him anywhere between 9, 10, 11, 12 for the week because he could be that guy. But here he is after this big week now, week one, and he tells the Packers cornerbacks for Thursday night, good luck.
Wow.
So a little bit of smack talk, but a little bit of confidence in his guys. But mm-hmm. has Jay Cutler, when we've seen a good week from him right here, against a Packers team that let up a lot of points to Alex Smith and company. Is he a must-start this week?
Must start, I don't know about that because it depends on who your number one quarterback is, but I think he's a good option in a 12-team league as sort of a mid-tier, low-tier starting quarterback just based on the fact that he's got that great rapport with Marshall. Alshon Jeffrey showed some flashes. They've got the running game going with Matt Forte and Michael Bush, and it's a good matchup. As good as the Packers are on paper, I mean, last season they, 15-1? Their defense stinks, and their defense did not look good against the San Francisco 49ers, who clearly don't have the weapons the Bears have in Jay Cutler and Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall, and they still put up some points on that Packers defense. So Thursday Night Football, and Jason and I will be doing the Thursday Night Football live on NFL.com that you can check out starting right around kickoff, and we're going to be talking, I think, a lot about Cutler and Aaron Rodgers. Greg Jennings has got a groin. Don't know if he's going to play. Randall Cobb's a guy that if he's available in your league, which he likely is, you should be trying to pick up now. They utilized him a lot. He had a ton of catches in week one. I believe he had 9 for 77. Also had 19 snaps out of the backfield, which for a wide receiver was sort of shocking to see. And again, if Jennings is out with his groin injury, give me the cheers. Groin injury.
Good.
Well, then
good,
you know what? Good. Randall Cobb could be a pretty decent sleeper on Thursday night. I think he's likely the one or two in terms of waiver wire pickups this week.
Yeah, it's hard, though, because Aaron Rodgers spreads the ball around so much.
Sure.
It's hard to say, okay, this – because even Randall Cobb said, hey, I was surprised I was involved in the passing game as mm-hmm. much. He didn't expect that. It really depends, and Aaron Rodgers is such a good quarterback that he's someone that, okay, I'm going to find the mismatch here today. Some days it's Jordy Nelson is too much for the team's opposing number two DB who's there. Some weeks it's Greg Jennings. Some weeks James Jones gets a couple of nice passes. This week it was Randall Cobb. Mm-hmm. It's almost like trying to pick a Redskins running back. Which Packers wide receiver is going to have
you
the bigger day?
You see a lot of that around the league.
It's hard.
It makes it tough.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saints is the obvious option there when you're talking about confusing wide receiving cores and who do you start and who do you sit. Lance Moore went off last week and Colston's sort of pedestrian, and you've also got the same situation like that going on with the Patriots. Wes Welker, what the heck happened to Wes Welker?
Oh.
He didn't even play in all the snaps. I think he was in it was like 36 or 56 or whatever it was, but he was losing some time that Julian Edelman. Let me ask you a question, because
it's almost like
Akbar
Baja phasing him out.
Mentioned this on NFL Fantasy Live, one of our pals from the show. Patriots didn't pay Welker in the offseason, so Welker's now basically in a contract season. Do they phase him out of the offense a little bit and say, well, hey, we're not paying you. You didn't perform this past season. And Akbar kind of thought that might be the deal. And I'm thinking, whoa, if that's the truth, number one, I got to try to trade Wes Welker. And number two, I'd hate to play for the Patriots in a contract year. Dear Lord.
Well, that's the thing about New England is that, you know, how much truth is there to it? I think look, Akbar played in the league for a few years. I mean, he knows how things work.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the Patriots phasing him out simply because they know he's not going to be their future. After last year, after the drop in the Super Bowl, coming back, they realize we're not going to give him a lot of money. They just signed Brandon Lloyd. You know, Bill Belichick wants more tight ends. How many tight ends did they try to sign in the offseason? 11, 12, 13?
I think that's on the low end.
Yeah, and so you can tell they're moving that offense away, and I think that's what Bill Belichick is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we move this offense away from Wes Welker? They did it with Randy Moss. Remember right before they waived Randy Moss, they benched him for that game. It was a Monday night game, and I forget who they played, but they won. They had a block punt for a touchdown, and they had a kick return, and they won. And I remember after the game, there were a lot of reports from people I talked to when I was on the radio saying that this was Belichick saying, okay, we can do it this way. We don't need Randy. And then Moss was gone, and then he was played for two other teams with the Vikings, and he's with the Tennessee Titans.
We can
do our offense this way now. We don't need to do it that way. So I could see that happening with Welker again. Look, they said it was no contract talk. It was 1 year, nine and a half
million.
You,
if that's the
it.
Case.
That's it.
I mean, he did nothing.
No,
he was just invisible statistically.
He's on a short leash with me that if week two he again misses a full third of the snaps, he misses snaps to Julian Edelman, and he only plays in certain packages, he's somebody like CJ2K. I go, you know what, can I play this guy week three? Just because there's a pattern. If it's 1 week and they're trying to send a message to Welker or whatever it is that Belichick's trying to do, okay. And then if week two he's back and he's playing all the snaps, okay, fine. But if it's another week where we're limiting your snaps, suddenly Welker's not going to start playing 67 out of 70 snaps.
Yeah.
This is
a guy who's caught 100 balls just about every season that he's been in New England, sans the one that he came off of the ACL. So
he had 120 last year.
It's troubling. It's troubling, and it's a situation to watch. But again, Jason, I think you'd agree with me when I say you can't panic after 1 week. You have to see what happens.
No, and especially when there's nobody out there that you can say, boy, do I cut bait on this guy to get somebody.
Right.
Great example. Last year, Cam Newton goes nuts, 400 yards in his first game.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who is in a league is saying, wow, it was a great first game, but I just drafted. I have my number one quarterback. I really like my backup quarterback. Am I worth waving my backup quarterback who I like to pick up Cam Newton, who I'm never going to play? And people laid off him. And what happened? Cam Newton comes in and he wins people fantasy championships.
Yep.
So if there were players like that out there, I would say, yeah, go absolutely. Go out, get them, make a move. Don't be shy. But right now, I think it's great. If you're unsure about your team, it's a good week to be unsure because you don't have to make any big decisions to say, oh, I have to go grab this guy off the waiver wire. I have to make a move here. I got to bench this guy. You can play another week and see. And who knows what stars come up after week two, but that's what I like is that if I need help, I don't have to worry that there's nothing out there. Look, the best two quarterbacks are Mark Sanchez and Blaine Gabbert.
And I'm not picking up either one of them. And
no.
I'm not just having fun with you with Sanchez. I don't trust Sanchez as far as I can throw him. And considering I'm 5'8 and about 162 pounds, I probably can't throw Sanchez very far.
Yeah, I throw the football with you on the set. You can, pretty much 10 yards is about. And then your ball kind of dips a little bit.
No, listen. I got a rocket arm for a 5'8 Italian guy.
Okay.
We can't throw it very far. And I got small hands.
Well, so do I.
Those real footballs.
You
kind of
throw it
tough.
Like Jim Plunkett. Now, Jim Plunkett would put his arm straight back, and he would kind of heave it
like that.
Yeah, you have a very Jim Plunkett-esque throw.
I got into my little Bernie Kosar, like the little sidearm too.
No, you have a better spiral than Bernie Kosar.
Oh, is that right?
Your ball comes in pretty hot.
Your
ball comes in hot. Kosar's kind of messes right. You go, oh boy, is that going to fall? Oh no, Webster Slaughter caught it. Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun talking to our boy Warren Sapp here.
Sapp is coming up next. 888-XM Fantasy. Your phone calls as well. 888-963-2682. We'll answer all your fantasy questions. And coming up next, Warren Sapp from NFL Network will stop by. We'll talk about his old team, the Raiders, on Monday night. Pretty big fantasy questions coming out of this game for both the Raiders and the Chargers going forward. We continue on. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from NFL Network. NFL Fantasy Live is our show here on Sirius 210 XM 87.
This is NFL Fantasy Live on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from NFL Network and NFL.com. The number is 888-XM-FANTASY, Sirius 210, XM87. Warren Sapp will stop by in a little bit. We'll talk a little Raiders-Chargers, break down the Monday night game. Some things we said were going to happen Monday night happen. Some things we said were going to happen Monday night also didn't happen. We'll get to that. But also, again, I said, taking your calls, 888-XM-FANTASY. Kick things off with Chris in Maryland, who's got a trade question for us. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so I'm in a 10-team PPR league, and I was just offered a trade. We have an unlimited roster. So my roster is Michael Vick is my quarterback, Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, Stephen Ridley, LeSure, my running backs, Akeem Nix, Greg Jennings, Marcus Colston, Antonio Brown, and Jeffrey are my wide receivers, and tight ends are Tammy, Rudolph, and Feener. And I just wanted to know if he offered me Mendenhall, Vincent Jackson, and Eli Manning for AP, because I'm kind of scared about Vic. What are your thoughts?
Mendenhall, Vincent Jackson, and Eli for Adrian Peterson.
So he offered you basically a running back who's not playing yet.
A wide receiver who had 11 targets on Sunday and caught 4 passes.
And Eli Manning, no. Turn it down.
All right, I'll turn
it down. He's trying to pull the classic, I'll give you these three guys who will help you up and down your roster. For this one guy. He's good, but I'll give you these three guys.
You've got Nix, you've got Jennings, you've got Colson, you've got Antonio Brown. What the heck do you need Vincent Jackson for? I don't think you do. I think you're good. Your running back position is pretty stout. I mean, Adrian Peterson, who shocked the hell out of every fantasy expert from here to Kingdom Come last week.
No, I said 100 yards and 2 touchdowns for him.
Listen.
Okay, I didn't.
Please. I mean, I'm speechless over your blasphemous lies. No, don't make that trade.
And you know what? All three of those guys, I'm not real nervous about Eli because they're going to throw the football. Eli's going to be fine. I'm nervous about Vincent Jackson, Fabs, because he comes in and I think we've seen the best of him. He got paid. He goes to another location. Freeman looks for him, which is great because Freeman looked for him more than any other wide receiver by far. But 4 catches for 47 yards. And it's not like they played the 49ers. Not they had a game against the Texans.
Go to NFL.com/fantasy. Go to the draft kit. And in my list of busts, you'll see Vincent Jackson.
Vincent Jackson.
I didn't like him. I would have drafted him maybe as a 3, but that's about it. I didn't like him. Downgraded quarterback. Offense from high-profile Phillip Rivers. Ryan Matthews running the football, Antonio Gates to Greg Schiano running the football 25, 30 times a game.
Which if you own Doug Martin, you're happy because he got
tons of touches.
He had the most touches of any running back in the NFL on Sunday. He and Alfred Morris, believe it or not, led the league in touches on Sunday.
And we're supposed to be able to predict this stuff successfully.
It's tough. And he's involved in the passing game too.
Touches and targets column, by the way, is on NFL.com. You can check that out every Monday.
Yeah, that's right. NFL.com/fantasy, targets and touches every Monday. I write a column all about who got the most attention from their quarterbacks week one, who got their most attention running back-wise week one as well. And we had a tie there at the top for targets this week. Most targets at 18, Reggie Wayne.
Figured
18,
that one.
Which is, Reggie Wayne's a great play. You have to start him now as one of your wide receivers because they're not throwing the ball to anybody else. He could have that
great
Steve Smith
matchup
type
this
year.
Week against the Vikings.
Yeah, phenomenal matchup. And you know who he's tied with? Darren McFadden.
At one point, I thought McFadden was going to catch 30 passes in that game.
And he was going to break Brandon Marshall's record.
He was unbelievable. And his rushing yards were next to nothing.
Yeah.
He is such a talented player. Hopefully, and I said this today on NFL Fantasy Live, hopefully we don't have to caveat Darren McFadden with if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Hopefully that guy is out of the trainer's room and on the football field, because for as long as he's playing on that gridiron, he is going to be an absolute beast for your fantasy team.
Yes, and if you're in a league that gets points for muffed snaps to the punter, you
did great
last night.
The Raiders are the best.
They are the best
Raiders
team.
Defense and special teams.
Yes, take them and play them every week.
That was embarrassing.
I felt so bad for that
kid.
You
know, I missed a couple of them because, like, I was on Twitter, and then all of this stuff came out about Jerry Lawler and Raw.
Right.
And I, listen, one of my guilty pleasures since I've been a little kid is watching wrestling, WWE. And so I kind of went to Raw and rewound it because I wanted to see exactly what happened, and hopefully everything is okay with Jerry Lawler. But so I missed that, but then I saw it on the highlights, and I'm like, it's like Pop Warner out there. Some kid's trying to learn how to snap the football back to the punter and is not having much success.
Yeah, it's backup lineback. He got thrust in because their long snapper got hurt, and I felt so bad for him.
And I think I saw a report that the Redskins signed a long snapper today.
Mike Shanahan now is going to do Shanahanigans with long snapping.
Every team in the league now is going to sign a backup long snapper after what happened to the Oakland Raiders last night.
Hey, you know, it's a copycat league, Fabs. They say it all the time. You see something happen, they go to something else. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, and NFL.com here. It's NFL Fantasy Live on Sirius 210 XM87. Kevin in Houston got a waiver question. Go ahead, Kev.
I was thinking about cutting Gerhardt and possibly picking up Ogletree, Morris, or Hill. And I wanted to kind of know, who do you guys think is the best value?
Do you need a running back? It depends on what you need. I mean, there's all kinds of leagues that I'm in where Ogletree is available and Alfred Morris is available. Yeah. And honestly, my number one waiver spot is based on need at position. So if you need a running back, clearly it's Morris. You never know what's going to happen with Redskins running backs, though. I mean, Mike Shanahan has pulled the wool over our eyes a million times, as our friend Adam Rank likes to call it, Shanahanigans. Shanahan said that Alfred Morris is his starting running back right now, yesterday. So hopefully that means today he's right now the starting running back.
He might not be.
I have no idea.
He might not be by the end of the show.
I think long term, it's impossible to predict. Morris is probably the best running back off the waiver wire this week, but he could be a backup in a week or two. Who knows? I like Ogletree. The guy I really like is Randall Cobb. I just am totally enthralled by what he did against the 49ers, but he had 9 catches on 9 targets for 77 yards. If you get return yards and touchdowns from players, God, you have to get him if you didn't have him already. Greg Jennings has got a groin, so who knows if he's going to play. So he's a guy that I like as well. But it all depends on what you need. I mean, if you're stacked at running back and you're hurting at wide receiver, then clearly your number one waiver claim is going to be Ogletree or Cobb, depending on your scoring system.
And I hear you on Gerhardt, because he was someone, Fabs, that we thought as recently as a month ago would be a great pick for the first few weeks of the season, because he saw what happened when Peterson got hurt last year. He was very good out of the backfield catching passes. He was very good running the football. This guy's got a lot of talent, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing somewhere else next year with a full-time gig, because you can see how talented he is. But obviously, you're not getting the carries when Adrian Peterson is back healthy. And it's obvious he's healthy coming back after that torn ACL, MCL, quicker than anybody in the history of mankind. So Gerhardt's value has taken a huge dive.
Was there anybody huge who dive. Thought he'd do anything?
No. Nobody. I thought, all right, they're going to start him. Let him carry the ball a couple of times to get that first hit out of the way. Then he'll carry the ball a couple more times in the game. And instead it was, boy, okay, all day kind of looks like he did before. Okay, and he's in the end zone. Okay, kind of looks good.
He did have a little bit of slowness in terms of his burst and cutting. I think that'll come. But I'll tell you, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I have not seen a running back come out of the gates after an ACL reconstruction, especially a late season ACL reconstruction, and make the impact that Adrian Peterson has made. It'll be very interesting to see, Jason, if that continues throughout the course of the season. But you would think he's only going to get better.
Right. And the other thing, too, is let's say he does kind of level off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are they really going to say, hey, sorry you busted your tail to come back the way you did because you want to play? Paid, you could have sat out, you could have done all these things. Thanks for doing that, but yeah, you know, we're going to kind of lighten your load a little bit, and Gerhardt's coming in. They're not going to do that to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, and boy, he's playing the Colts this week too. Like, he went from, oh man, I don't know if I'm starting this guy, he's a real risk, he could be limited in his carries, they could use Gerhardt, to, yeah, to start Adrian Peterson this week.
now he's a must start.
I mean, you want to talk about flip-flopping. Every fantasy expert in the planet's flip-flopping on Adrian Peterson.
You know, and the thing is, I was going back to what I thought on Sunday, what we said pre the game against the Vikings. And I remember on the show we talked about Adrian. Obviously, it was a big deal. We found out he was going to start and maybe carry the ball 15 times, just about what they gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, he's someone that, hearing this news, I'll put him in my flex. But if I have someone, if I'm loaded on my bench and I think, boy, can I? Do I start him or do I start Percy Harvin? If I have another good wide receiver, I could put in that flex spot that can gain me more than 50 yards. That's who I would put in ahead.
Right. Now, once we found out that he was starting, I said, well, okay. I mean, I guess I'd play him as a flex because of the position, and there's not a lot of great options out there, and it's Adrian Peterson. But I was throwing out, and this is just goes to the point of fantasy football and the NFL can be so unpredictable, is that you remember the show on Sunday, and you asked me, would you start Alfred Morris or Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, and you said I'd start Peterson over Morris.
Initially, I said Alfred Morris. And then when we found out he was going to start, I said Peterson was going to start. I said, at that point, maybe that tilts the favor into Peterson's – but. Yeah, Alfred Morris scored more fantasy points than AP. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And you he's someone, you play him this week. You play Alfred Morris this week. Don't play any other Redskins. I mean, it sounds elementary when you say, okay, here's a running back that had a big week and you don't play the other guys, but it's Mike Shanahan. You really have no idea. But this week, play Alfred Morris. He looked tough. He ran tough. He got his runs into the end zone where he was running through guys. Maybe it was adrenaline because he's a feel-good story making it to the NFL, but he absolutely will start this week for the Red. I mean, who knows what happens, but he's got – I mean, Shanahan can't go away from him to start the game. So you know that he's got
Shanahan can do anything the heck that he wants because he's Shanahan.
Well, because they won last week. If they didn't win.
Let's hope he doesn't do this Shanahanigans this week, because it's a great, great matchup. And actually, I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before when he pulled this with us, and I think it might have been in a game against the Rams, and it was Ryan Terrain who had a terrific stat line. Let's just hope that Alfred Morris is the starting running back and the bell cow for the Redskins this weekend, because a lot of fantasy owners are going to be starting this kid.
All right, speaking of starting running backs, Chargers are waiting for the return of Ryan Matthews. Mm-hmm. Could happen this week. They held him out. He said he thought he could have played, but they wanted to hold him back. That's fine. Give him some extra time to heal. And no worries about Ryan Matthews coming back and anyone stepping into his shoes and splitting some time. Oh, boy, Ryan's going to come back, but he's only going to get half the carries. Here's a pop quiz for you, Fabs. Mm-hmm. Who led the Chargers in rushing last night? You know who led the Chargers in rushing?
I would guess it's not a running back.
It is not a running back who led the Chargers in rushing.
Boy, that's a tough one. Was it Phillip Rivers?
No. God, Phillip Rivers had minus 2 yards.
Okay, so he actually had what?
One less yard than D'Angelo Williams.
Yes, exactly. Which is unbelievable.
And I'm pretty sure maybe there were kneel downs. Maybe that
was it. Malcolm Floyd? I don't know. It's got to be somebody like that.
Eddie Royal.
Oh, man.
With 2 carries for 12 yards.
Ronnie Brown is one of the perfect examples of a running back who fell right out of the freaking fantasy radar, off the fantasy radar once he hit 30. Yeah. He had the ACL. He had some injuries. I believe it was 2007. He was like the best running back in fantasy for half the year before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But he just looks slow, and I don't know if he's out of shape or what the case may be, but there isn't a Chargers running back that's not named Ryan Matthews that you can play with any kind of confidence. And hopefully, as someone who loved Ryan Matthews in the preseason and someone who owns Ryan Matthews in a league, he's back this week, because other than that, they have Zippo in that backfield.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to say, all right, we're going to make a play here. All the emails I got yesterday, do I play Ronnie Brown tonight? Do I play do I play Curtis Brinkley tonight? Do I play Mike Goodson tonight? And I'm saying, what kind of league are you in where you're playing these guys on Monday night first week of the season? What kind of league is that?
There are some leagues that you have to – listen, I was in a league that's it's a 12-team league, and the rosters are pretty good size, and I lost by less than 1 point to Henry Hutchins, our homepage editor. And I started Greg Little because I didn't have anyone else to play.
Oh, Greg Little.
And you know how many catches he had?
Close your eyes. What do you see?
Same as you. If he catches one stinking pass, I win.
One pass.
But everything balances out. In our NFL Celebrity League that I share a team with Adam Richman, I beat Molly Burnett from Days of Our Lives by just over a point. So it all evens out.
Yeah, and I like
it all evens out.
In the Experts League, I played Adam Rank this week. Mm-hmm. And going into the game yesterday, I was beating him by like 30 points. And I said, Rank, I kind of got you this week. And I like Rank did the old, well, I don't know how much attention I'm going to spend and pen on this. I don't know. Oh, really? Really? You're not going to spend, suddenly now you're not going to spend attention because you're getting spanked like this. It was kind of funny. I'm in a lot of leagues. I don't know how much attention I can spend on that. It was kind of funny.
That's Rank, though. Ranker, I think, had a bad week in fantasy.
And beating J.B. Maggio in our Experts League, also on the show with us, NFL Fantasy Live. So I was pretty happy going 2-for-2 in week one.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get on come to NFL Network until after the season started last year. So I couldn't really get in on any team. So I was excited and stoked to get in on these two this year.
6-2 this week. So hopefully we can keep that up. And I lost one game by a point.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. You'll forget about it. I used to think those games would gnaw at me forever. Games I lose
week
by
one.
A point or certain things. But you forget about it.
There's some fantasy playoff games and games for championships that I've lost that still gnaw at my gut.
Oh, championship games, But regular season you kind of forget.
Yes.
Except the one time, this is the only time I remember a regular season game painful loss, is I remember the team we were playing against had zero running backs. Mm-hmm. So they played Obafemi Ayanbadejo. Okay, the first Ayan Badejo.
Okay.
All right, they played. This is like in 1998.
Okay.
The guy had never had a touchdown in his career.
Okay.
And he finished his career with one touchdown.
And it was
his one touchdown was that week, 6 points, and I got beat by four. And
the
I still remember
gods,
the one touchdown he had in his life.
The fantasy gods were not looking down on you favorably, my friend.
Oh, unreal. That happens. All right, 888-XM-FANTASY, 888-XM-FANTASY. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from NFL Network coming up. We'll keep answering your questions as far as fantasy goes. We're also going to get into some three and outs, some big questions coming your way involving quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers from week one to week two. We're going to get to that as well. And also, we are fast on the case of Warren Sapp to stop by. Judge Sapp. To stop by and give us some judgments on week one plus in fantasy series 210 XM87.
NFL Fantasy Live brings you all the access and information from the NFL Network right to your radio on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Sirius 210 XM87, Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano from NFL Network and NFL.com here taking you through the next hour plus here on the show. We're talking waiver wire, we're talking all the big news stories, and joining us now is Judge Sapp, Warren Sapp from NFL Network, stopping by, our two-time Fantasy Expert League champion. And Fabs, I know you tell me Sapp's won twice, and I could tell in your eyes you have a lot of admiration for this guy.
Look, Sapp beat me the first year that I started this league in the championship, and you know what, Warren, every time in the regular season we play each other, I beat you, and then when I get into the playoffs and play them, I get whipped. So I bow down to you, champ, two times in a row.
I thank you very much, Mr. Fabiano, our NFL fantasy guru at the NFL Network. And you know, I steal a lot of tips from him off his timeline. He don't know it, but I do.
Well, that's what we say about Fabs, Sapp, is that in the regular season he's fine, but when the playoffs come, he doesn't have that next level, doesn't have that next gear.
Oh, I got that next level.
It's not my fault he don't know his way through the playoffs. It's not my fault.
I got the level, but Sapp always knocks me down.
If you can have a regular season three times, my team come to play.
Yeah, you're like my fantasy championship kryptonite, Sapp.
Thank you very much.
One thing fantasy-wise is that no one ever thought, regardless, that Adrian Peterson would have the day he had on Sunday. And what he did, Warren, to come in and have that day and run well and score twice and be able to carry the load after having that surgery in late December, early January. I mean, what'd you make of what he did on Sunday?
It was mind-blowing. It was absolutely mind-blowing because, you know, at one point that was an injury that would take you out. You know, they thought about your career being gone. Now he's back after week 16, 17, he's blowing a knee out. And then he gave me 2 points, and then I almost get 100 yards on 17. I was like, that's not right, but that's why we call him all day.
Are you worried at all about him staying healthy the rest of the way, or did he look like he was back and everything is behind him?
You know what? With the great medical people we have around the NFL, I really doubt they would put him out there if he was in any danger of hurting himself. And with 84 yards and 2 touchdowns, it looked like he was helping his ball to the club to me.
Warren, let's talk about another player coming off of an injury, albeit maybe not as serious from a football perspective, and that's Peyton Manning, who, you know, some people were worried about a little bit. He's 36, coming off of multiple neck surgeries, and had what looked to be on paper a tough matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Peyton Manning didn't look like he missed a beat. Do you expect us to see the same elite Peyton Manning in fantasy that we've seen for most of his career?
You know what, Kurt Warner, you know, made an excellent point that, you know, the man thrives on being Peyton Manning and looked like Peyton Manning. It's pretty scary that the man could miss a whole year, have four surgeries, and come back and look like he just stepped out on the football field, just changed uniform. It was amazing. That was great to see, too.
Did you think that as the season goes on, we're going to see him throwing the ball downfield more? Because that's the one question is, you know, how far can he throw? He had that big, long touchdown, but that was mainly Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it because the weapons he have around him. I mean, he's always been a guy to throw guys open. And the speed of Decker and Demaryius Thomas, as strong as he is and complete a game he has, it's going to be tough to stop this offense. It's just tough.
Yeah, you know, Warren, switching gears over to Tennessee, and we'll talk about the Titans. Honestly, man, I mean, you're a straight shooter. You tell people like it is. What the heck's going on with Chris Johnson?
You know what? That was a tough matchup. And especially whenever you're talking about a matchup where Bill Belichick has your rookie, well, he's not a rookie, second year, but his first start. You know, when your first start is against Bill Belichick and the four guys before that have gone 0-4, it's a difficult task. And especially with the revamping of defense that Bill Belichick did, I mean, They put a button on Chris. I mean, the first things first. For a young quarterback, take away the running game.
So you think Chris Johnson's going to rebound and bounce back in fantasy?
Yes,
or shouldn't
I
worry about
yes,
it?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think Chris Johnson's going to have him an excellent year. I'm talking about 1,500 plus yards.
Warren Sapp with us, Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, NFL Fantasy Live and NFL.com here on Sirius 210 XM87. Let's talk a little about your fantasy team here, Sapp, for a second. Jay Cutler's your quarterback. Had a pretty nice week one for you there. I think you should give him a shout-out and say thank you. I think he did it for you.
One time for Jay Cutler. You know, the old Vanderbilt guy, player of the year, rookie. I mean, he just did a great job, 333 yards, two touchdown passes for the Fighting 99s, the two-time defending champs. I needed him because, you know, Lindsey Rose had Cam Newton on the other side, and the Bucks did a good job, but Cam still had 12.5 points. So, you know, it was a tough fight for me, you know, especially with backfield and scrambles right now. You know, Freddie Jackson's not ready to roll, and Steven Jackson looking like Freddie Jackson up there in Detroit. I mean, what's going on?
Hey, you think Cutler can have as big a week against the Packers on Thursday?
You know what? I think it's going to be a shootout because neither one of these defenses are ready to stop either one of these offenses that line up on the field. I know the Bears normally have the Packers number because they cover two and it makes you be patient, but I don't see them. I think it's going to be a shootout. Both quarterbacks throwing around and all over the yard, and it's going to be exciting. So I'm starting Jay Cutler. Believe that.
Warren, what did you see talking about the Patriots again with that pass attack and the absence of Wes Welker as a prominent option for Tom Brady? He had, 36 yards in that contest? It was minimal. Was this just a one-week thing? Or are the Patriots throwing the ball to those tight ends exclusively and phasing Welker out of the offense?
Listen, I expect Welker and Bradman Lloyd to show up because they get you worried about these tight ends and then you're like, well, I'm worried about the outside receivers and then they come alive. I mean, that's the beauty of Belichick and the beauty of Tom Brady. You can never take one thing away from a great quarterback and handicap. He's going to find another way to move the ball up and down the field. And he did another good job Sunday.
Hey, Warren, let's finish up here with one of your former teams, the Raiders, last night. They fall on the short end of the stick, 22-14. I thought you were gonna go long snap for them, like midway through the game. I said Sapp's got to be in uniform somewhere. I know he can snap.
To the knot on the head. I was a little worried about him because that's the best three players on the field, John Cardo, you know, Chief Pass, and my man, Let. Without those three, it's a bunch that can go wrong, man. But you know what? I'm glad to see it took 14 minutes for the first penalty to be thrown against the Raiders. But boy, did they follow after that, didn't they?
Hey, Carson threw the ball 46 times on Monday. You think he's going to be throwing the ball 46 times a game this year?
Listen, man, this is the way of the new NFL. You get your two running backs to split 25 carries and a quarterback that can swing it 45 times. Let's go play a football game. I mean, I was looking around for all the receivers, but it looked like they were a little short on the receiver end. Maybe they get
Warren.
Some people out of the training room, and then they'll be ready to roll. But I don't expect nobody in the NFL to change from throwing the ball around.
Warren, hey, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're always one of our favorite guests here on NFL Fantasy Live, Sirius 210 XM 87. And I know I'll be seeing you around the office this week, so safe travels back out to L.A. I love you, man, and thank you again.
We are 1-0. The defending, two-time defending champion is ready for his three-peat. Look out.
Thanks, Warren. I appreciate it.
Take it easy, man.
Take care, man.
Unless he winds up long snapping for the Raiders. I think he could still do that. I think that could still actually happen.
I tell you one thing. He couldn't have done a worse job than the Raiders' backup long snapper did
that
Monday night contest. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, that was just I felt bad, but it was laughable.
You know, one thing, though, let's talk one positive thing about the Raiders here, is that we were told last week, we talked to Darren McFadden on NFL Fantasy Live, and I said, hey, who's a wide receiver you're excited about on the team?
He said Rod Streeter.
He said Rod Streeter. And it was kind of surprising because, obviously, Darius Heyward-Bey, Denarius Moore getting a lot of attention, even Jacoby Ford, who didn't even catch a pass last night. But Rod Streeter had 10 targets last night. Number one targeted wide receiver by Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. Did have that touchdown late. It was an oh-by-the-way touchdown,
it
but
was.
That's okay. It still counts.
Yeah, it does.
You still get those
sure.
points for fantasy. Rod Streeter, someone that's interesting just because of the attention
he got?
Well,
they are playing the Dolphins this week, and it all depends on what happens with Denarius Moore. It seemed like he was close to coming back. And you've also got Jacoby Ford, who's injured too. So it sort of depends on what happens with the depth chart. I think Streeter, if you're in a deep league, I mean, absolutely, this is a guy that you go out and grab only because when you're talking about deep league waiver wire options, there are not going to be a lot of them. We're talking about 10 and 12 team leagues, Jason, and there are not a lot of options. So I think he's worth a look in those leagues, but do I expect him to come out and be the next Anquan Boldin, a guy who's a rookie wide receiver who is just enormous and puts up tremendous numbers? No. And I still think the wide receiver to own there is Denarius Moore. And until Darius Heyward-Bey does something on a consistent basis to change my mind, I still think Moore is going to be the guy. He's hurt right now. Once he gets healthy, he's a playmaker.
All right, now let's get to the Chargers real quick. I was glad that Malcolm Floyd came through last night because he was someone we were very high on. I was high on him last week.
It's funny how those trends happen, right, Chase?
Yeah.
It's like one guy, even though he doesn't do much against 30 other teams, he's got that one team that he always beats up, and Malcolm Floyd does just damage to the Raiders every time they play against each other.
Yeah, 66 yards and a touchdown last night. We recommended him as a big start, and I felt like everything was hinging for me on Malcolm Floyd. I'm like, all right, if Malcolm Floyd comes through, I have a good week recommending people, and I feel good. If Malcolm Floyd doesn't come through, I'll feel bad. But he came through, so I feel pretty good about the week.
Yeah, and he was in my sleepers and start him and sit him at wide receiver, so it definitely panned out, and that's why we follow the trends, my friend. Sometimes they don't work, but in the case of Malcolm Floyd, it did.
All right, and you can follow us. Coming up next, it's the Fantasy Cantina. Anything goes.
I can't wait.
XM Fantasy, 888. XM Fantasy, your questions. We'll get to some three and out topics and give you everything you need to know for Fantasy Dominance Week 2. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano here on Sirius 210, XM 87.
If you like the NFL, you're going to like NFL Fantasy Live on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to buyoptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at buyoptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.